We're visiting with a guy who threw passes to Heinz Ward.
He did.
Can you restrain yourself? Look at this guy, and imagine this guy now calling Boise State football games, had to admit before one of the biggest road trips, really, Boise State had taken, maybe since 05, Coach, when we went to Athens, that he, people in Boise finally started realizing that he was a University of Georgia graduate, calling the game, with a bias, of course, coming out of Stockton, California, deciding to go to school at the University of Georgia, and now he sits here having to interview you. Yeah. And this is an unfair advantage.
So you didn't let it out of the bag until
nobody really ever came out.
Nobody
everybody thought it was from Massachusetts because I came from UMass. And then I was on the radio, and I said, well, I'll give you my line. When it was Wes Durham had me on his talk show.
Yeah.
He says, what do you think about the Georgia and Boise State game? Now, I'll tell you, I was at the first game that they played in 05.
Yes.
I was in the stands, and I was wearing red because I was employed by the University of Massachusetts. We had played Thursday night. This was on a Saturday. I flew down because we opened the season on a Thursday, sat in the stands, and wore red. Okay? I told Wes Durham on the air that night that I'm going to be the only person in attendance at both games that would leave the field both times smiling.
You were right.
Yeah. So, anyway, welcome aboard, Coach. I know
Thank you.
Well, let me ask you that. How much different do things look now? How many times have you called Coach Rick back and say, you know, I'm just going to pick your brain here. You've been a coordinator a while. You've been in the bright lights. We know that.
Right.
But now you're running the show. What are those big differences to you?
Well, the big difference is that there's every day is nonstop of stuff coming across your desk. As, you know, assistant coach, you didn't realize, you know, from, you know, an academic question, a where you're sitting recruits question, a parent's question. You know, so it's just been nonstop with that. And, you know, I'm used to sitting in there deciding what we're going to do offensively, recruiting my handful of guys, and now you're the whole team, talk to the whole team, recruiting, you know, 300 guys, you know, trying to message on Twitter to, you know, 20. So there's just the overall responsibility is different. But, you know, I think I'm prepared for it. I know I don't have all the answers. I think I've hired a great staff. I've worked for good people. I got great resources in Coach Rick and Coach Jim Donnan and other guys that I've coached with and played for that you got to ask. But at the end of the day, I'm gonna do what I feel's best. You know, whether I'm right or wrong, I'm gonna do what I feel best. So I lay down at night. I got peace with it. And, you know, I believe it's going to work. And if it doesn't work, so be it. I did the way I wanted to do it.
For somebody that's followed Georgia football for about 30 years, this is the first job you really went after actively? Because I don't remember your name surfacing a whole lot. You were offensive coordinator at Georgia a lot of years, and you'd think somebody in your position would have had chances elsewhere. Was this something that you saw as a job you really wanted?
It was for a lot of reasons, and it really was the first job that I went after actively. And if you'd asked me 5 years ago, could you ever see yourself coaching in Fort Collins at CSU, I'd have probably said, no, not really. But you know, I'm at a recruit's dad's office who's a receiver coach for the Tennessee Titans, and Sean Jefferson. And I'm recruiting his son for us at Georgia at the time, and he's got a sign in there that says, get comfortable being uncomfortable. And, you know, talking about you got to get uncomfortable to grow. And my wife and I had had some conversations, and I came home that night. It might have been the next day because we got home late. And I said, I told her about the sign. I said, are we growing? Am I growing as a football coach? Am I growing as a husband? Are our children growing? And lo and behold, less than a week later, I get a call from CSU. You know, are you interested? Obviously, things had to match up as far as place to move your family, raise your family, chance to win, all the and great administration support, and all those did. But it was a chance for me to get out of my comfort zone where I'd been my whole life in Georgia, and grow. And it's been a growing experience. And is it comfortable in that chair when I don't know all the answers and everything? No, it's not comfortable. But it's been good, and I'm excited about the challenge. We got a great group of kids, so I'm looking forward to it.
Mike Bobo is the head football coach at Colorado State, joining us here on Sports Radio The Tickets. It's a global travel roadshow with Kazen Prayless. Bob Beeler is with us, thanks to Audio Video Systems and Nextel. What did Coach McElvain tell you? I know you didn't have a relationship with him per se. I'm sure you had mutual acquaintances given the SEC route. But what did he tell you about this job that convinced you that this was a good deal. You must have had respect for him because he made a leap, right,
yes,
from Alabama to there. But he had roots
right
in that part of the country where he felt like, hey, I'm closer to home anyway.
Right. Well, we had obviously had mutual friends, Kirby Smart being the main one. Kirby and I, defense coordinator at Alabama, played together at Georgia. Both of our dads were high school coaches and really had – mutual friend reach out to him first, other than Kirby, and before the first interview. Before I went on the second interview, I called Coach McElwain, and he had nothing but great things to say about his time at Fort Collins, the community, the administration, the president, and then, you know, the players. You know, about what good players he had. Not only good, I'm talking about as people, mm-hmm. good people. And, you know, really fired me up about the place. And then, one of the main questions was, is there a quarterback there that can get it done? Because that is important. You know, when you're at any level, you got to have a quarterback. And he felt there was. So that made me feel even better. And then I just, you know, fortunate enough after the interview with Coach or Tony Frank, Dr. Frank, I was hoping he'd call me because he was a guy that when I walked out, I called my father and I said, this is a guy I want to work for.
Mm. Now, the good news is you're inheriting a program that won 10 games last year, that's done a good job the last couple of years. So it's a place that has won, and especially when you go back into the Sonny Lubick era, has won quite a bit here. But you lose a quarterback to the Saints, Garrett Grayson, so you've got your work cut out for you early.
Yeah, we have our work cut out. But one of the main reasons that I wanted this job was that the recent success. You did not have to go in and re-energize, rejuvenate the fan base. The support was there. There was positive upswing, the building of the new stadium. So all those things were a positive. You know, and then you find out you're losing Garrett Grayson, threw for over 4,000 yards. So it's going to be a tough challenge. But I do have some experience with having to get a new quarterback ready. And the thing to me is you got to make sure that he's trying to be who he is, himself, not Garrett Grayson, not Mike Bobo. He's got to be himself. And at the end of the day, we got to do things as a coaching staff to put him in a position where he can have some success early and gain confidence. So hopefully when we start the conference play, he's ready to compete and maybe give us a chance to win a game late, where early on we might be just having him manage games.
We are going to have an opportunity to visit with Rashard Higgins and Trent Matthews here coming up, Coach. But as it relates to Higgins, you've seen a lot of great wide receivers in the SEC. I'm sure you coached some at Georgia. I know A.J. Green is one person that, in talking to Rashard, that's who has been brought up to him. But talk to me about his skill set, Higgins. Just where he is now. I know he needs to get better. But just as he is now, you drop him off at any SEC school and say, oh, no, he's still the go-to guy.
No, I think you can because 96 catches, 1,700 yards, I don't care where you're playing. That's amazing. And he missed the game. You know, but the thing that separates him from – there are a lot of great receivers, mm-hmm. a lot of great athletes across the country. You know, but you rarely find guys that can do both. When I say both, stretch the field vertically and make big plays down the field and take the short passes, the bubble screens and the quick screens, and take them to the house. And it's on tape. He does both. You know, so that is rare. You know, we had big guys that could run were vertical guys, and we had the little slot guys. He can do both. And he's big enough. And he's an unselfish player. He's doesn't mind blocking. So, you know, I expect him to have another big year for us this year.
Well, he can't play quarterback for you.
No, he can't. We might. Todd Gurley threw our longest pass last year at Georgia. He had the longest pass for us, and he didn't play quarterback, 45 yards. That was our longest completion.
And before you took over as the quarterback as a junior, Hines Ward had to fill in on a bowl.
That's right. West, but, you know, and my sophomore year, he was playing tailback, and he missed the block, and I broke my leg. I told him he did that on purpose so he could play quarterback. But
well, here goes the love affair. You know, Peter, this is just totally unbecoming, by the way. This is really not going to work for you long run.
Yeah.
But let's get, I guess, back to some of where you're headed with the program in terms of you've got a stadium now to sell.
Yes.
Did you really factor that in and say, whoa, that could be a heck of an opportunity? Or was that kind of a surprise to you that it came together that quick?
Well, you know, I did not know really hardly anything about CSU. So I'm looking online. I'm trying to find, and I'm saying, hey, we're a stadium's been passed, you know, that it's going to be built. And then I get there and I find out it's a reality, and it's going to be 2017. We've already, you know, we've been working hard on the plans. You know, the base was already done. But, I mean, we're the fence is up. Ground is being leveled. We're breaking ground against Minnesota the second game. So it's a reality. You know, we're showing recruits. We're recruiting to it. Our current players, people are getting excited about it. And I think it's a step in the right direction for Colorado State, bringing football back on campus. You know, a campus that has since I've been there, I've been told, has put $800 million renovating the campus in the last 10 years, and people have come to games and hadn't been back on campus. So now you're going to bring them back on campus. I think it just it's going to rejuvenate the community, the students, and, you know, we got to get them out there the next 2 years at Hughes. Our home schedule this year will help. We have a great home schedule, but on-campus stadium is going to be awesome for us.
Coach, talk to us about game planning for Boise State. I don't know what you were doing in 05. It may not have mattered. Maybe you were there were so many players on that Georgia team, and that was devastating to watch. It was that unfair. But the old 11 team, I know what you were doing. So you've had experience looking at the system, the program, how they like to do things. Your experience of it, what'd you think?
To me, you know, it didn't matter if it was 05. They had some turnovers early in the game. It just kind of got out of hand. What was the quarterback?
Jared Zabransky.
Zabransky threw some turnovers. And anytime you turn the ball over, it's tough to win, especially on the road. But you turn on the tape, you see guys that line up, guys know what they're doing, guys that play hard, blue-collar type guys that get after it. In 2011, you saw that same mindset, same guys on tape, but you saw probably a first 22 that could play with anybody in our league. You know, their first 22 was pretty good. And that number 92, McClellan. Jeez, you know, he was unreal. And then they put a bigger – they kind of changed up some things. The two safeties were good players. They were very, very good defensively. In the first 11, I thought any of them could have played in the SEC. But the motto is, to me, it's blue-collar, tough guys that buy in and play hard for each other. And obviously the success over the years, the wins help, but you can see that they believe. They believe in each other, and they believe in the system. And that's what we're trying to get at CSU. You know, we got good players, you know, but we got to buy in, and we got to believe in each other, and we got to believe in the system. And it takes a special win. It takes one of those seasons to start to build that confidence and build that tradition. And hopefully we can build on the, you know, past two seasons that they had recent and build on that. And I want to build a consistent winner. And you know we're trying. You know, Boise is the dog right now in this league, and rightfully so. And that's our benchmark. And we're working hard to get there. Are we going to get there this year? I don't know, but we're trying to work hard every day to put ourselves in position to play with a team like Boise.